The Bible reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 to 25. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that will bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Well, friends, shall we pray? Oh, Lord, we come to your word today in fear and trembling, knowing, Lord, that this is you revealing yourself to us. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we be grateful for all that you have done for us. Breathe upon me, Lord, I pray, that I may make some sense today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, friends. Welcome back to our pattern of worship. The one thing that actually I think is deep within all of us is a desire for better, for more of the Lord. And I want to remind you today that God loves you. And do you know, it's corrosive, this world can be. And the prime corrosion is the doubt that is set upon our hearts about the fact that God loves us. Do you know, God's love was from the beginning. It has been even displayed in the first chapter of the book of the Bible, Genesis. We're starting a new series today. It's going to be an extended series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be looking at encountering the Spirit of God, because we are a triune believing people. We believe in the Trinity. At our communion service, we will say, the Lord is here, God's Spirit is with us. So we have an understanding, intellectual understanding, but God wants to go far beyond an intellectual understanding. God is far beyond intellect. He's more interested in experiencing you and me in relationship with Him. We often find trouble with trying to describe the Trinity, don't we? We find it easier to be able to understand what a Father is or what a Son is, but what a Spirit is. We sometimes struggle with that. And many Christian sects actually have broken away from the mainstream church over the whole issue of the Trinity. They don't believe that God is three in one. So, just in case we're wondering, right throughout Scripture, the Spirit of God is mentioned. And here are a few examples of His name. God's Spirit. This isn't exhaustive, by the way. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. The Counselor, the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of Adoption, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Glory, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Knowledge, the Spirit of Grace, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Understanding, and the Spirit of the Father. Do you know, this is right through Scripture. The third person of God is preeminent. God is to be worshipped as one, yet as three. And this series that we'll be looking at over the next good few weeks is designed to increase our confidence in our triune worship, and in particular, in our worship and understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what He wants to do in our midst. And what better place to start than at the beginning? In the beginning, not in a beginning, in the beginning. The Spirit of God gets a big mention before creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the Spirit of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Not hovering, hovering over the waters. He's not an almighty tidier. He's an almighty empowerer. And the next verse says this, and God said. So within the first 20 words of the revelation of God in Scripture, we see God revealed as three. God, the Spirit, and God's Word. Look at John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, the spoken intention of God. The Spirit hovered over the waters. Do you know God has always been present and ever will be present? There will never be a time that the Lord is not present everywhere, all the time. In a way, the only one true reality is God. Before matter was created, God is. What an extraordinary statement. But actually, until we can truly grasp it, believe it, and live it, we will limit who we think God is to space and time. You see, all things around us are glorious, but a pale reflection of who God is. Do you know, the skies declare the glory of God. They declare the glory of God. They are not the glory of God. The glory of God is something far more magnificent than the stars. The essential thing to understand is that everything reflects the invisible but mighty God. The Spirit is the one that reveals the presence of God to us. You see, Sunday is the first day of the week. We gather because this is the day we believe that Jesus rose from the grave, a new beginning. Every Sunday is a new beginning for you and for me. We long here to make more room for the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And friends, the one thing that actually we've been praying over, Warren and I and the team, is that actually we need to make more room for God. More room for His Spirit to transform us. And so we're going to be morphing and changing and making room for Him, waiting for times of refreshing and seeing Him transform us. But we need to know who the Spirit of God is, because we need to know to trust Him, just what He is and who He is. First of all, I just want to point out, within this first chapter of Genesis, we see that the Spirit of God is a relational reality. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters in pregnant expectation of touching creation. The imminence of God in the Spirit form and who He is must change the way that we think about time and space. Often we think that space relates to a receptacle that needs filling, into which God comes and goes. And we see, like, the birth of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus, like God has arrived and then He's gone again. But that's not the way that God sees the universe and this reality. God is the most real. And His Spirit is the means by which He forms relationship with us. Because our understanding, if we just think God's popping in and out, we're affected by Newtonian physics, really. God sort of wound the clock up, set it going, and stepped back and said, well, there it goes. But actually, God's far more intimately involved in creation than we give Him credit for. We see that God here is dynamic, creative, interactive. The Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Let's form out of this the sky and the water. Let's form creatures. It's dynamic, it's creative. The Spirit of God is dynamic and creative today. The appearances of God, let's say we see the theophanies of God, the arrivals, the revelation of God, even Jesus arriving as a baby and going back up to heaven and the ascension, they are not popping in and out of reality. They are revealing His omnipresent reality with us. These are revelations of who God is. You see, primarily the Spirit is wanting to reveal God to us in the form of relationship rather than function. The Lord wants to meet with you and with me today. We're not doing church, we're meeting God. Imagine coming to church and not acknowledging anyone, sitting in your seat and just blocking everything out and then walking out again. That would be strange, wouldn't it? Because we are born and created for relationship. And yet so often we come into church and we can, and I find this danger, coming in to do church and realize that actually God is already here longing to make relationship. The way of our being experiences the love of God is by His Spirit. The way that we experience our conversion is by His Spirit. The way that God speaks to us in His Word is by His Spirit. When we pray and we hear God's voice, that's by His Spirit. Romans 5 says that God has poured His love out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the means by which our relationship is cemented and has meaning. from the beginning and in all our beginnings, the Lord is calling for relationship. And the Spirit is waiting to move upon us now. He is hovering in anticipation, waiting to start, waiting to interact. Will we let him? Secondly, the Spirit of God, as we see in the story of Genesis, whether or not you see this as a literal seven-day creation or not, what the Bible is trying to teach us here is this. God is intimately involved in releasing potential of that which he has created. God created everything from the beginning. All of creation was made by him and gains its understanding through him. Do you notice that God speaks to this mass, this unformed mass, and it becomes something else? First of all, it becomes sky and water, then water and land and sky, then creatures and trees and all sorts of things. Out of this very same form is the potential for life that God, by his Spirit himself, makes occur. And I'd say for you and I, friends, there is potential in you and I that God is waiting to speak into life that you don't even know exists yet. But it is there. And this is the function of the Spirit, to pull forth and bring forth and call forth and even, dare I say, create a whole new life within you. The Spirit of God is hovering over the waters of our lives. You see, the Spirit is the means by which transformation happens. Without the Spirit, no transformation can occur. Matthew Henry, the great 17th, 18th century theologian, said this: if the work of grace in the soul is a new creation, this chaos represents the state of an unregenerate and graceless soul. What wonderful language. There is disorder, confusion, and every evil work. It is empty of all good, for it is without God. I've remembered that state before knowing Jesus. It is dark. It is darkness itself. It is the condition of our nature till the almighty grace of God effects a blessed change. The Spirit of God sees potential within our chaos. Do you know we all have a mixture of chaos and potential? And probably most of us, most of the time, feel chaotic. Over the months, we're going to allow God to speak into our personal chaos and allow him to bring forth the potential that he has within us. Because, friends, the truth is this: your personal chaos does not diminish God's ability to rule over your chaos. Often we think, oh, he can't get near me. He's ruling over it already. Our interior world can sometimes feel chaotic. And, you know, I found myself sometimes obsessively tidying my world, my exterior world, because my interior world is so chaotic. And yet the Spirit of God longs to release a new divine order within us. That divine order is evidenced in Scripture, all over Scripture. Philippians, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of Christ. Psalm 23, he leads me beside quiet waters and restores my soul. This is the work of the Spirit, friends. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the work of the Spirit of God. This is the intended work to bring something new out of our chaos. And friends, the Spirit waits for us, and he waits on himself. Isn't that strange? The Spirit waits on himself. He works in concert with himself. He wants to create new reality in our lives. He's waiting for the almighty word of yes, Lord, from us and yes from him. Do you know the Lord always longs to speak a greater yes over you than we want to say over ourselves? You see, no other hand has created what you see except the hand of the Lord. We make things, God creates things. And he can create newness in you and me. There, Matthew Henry again. Now there is hope concerning this thing, for the Spirit of God begins to work, and if he works, who or what shall hinder it? God is said to make the world by his Spirit, and by the same mighty worker, the new creation is effected. So the Lord longs to bring new beginnings in our lives out of his eternal beginning. He also longs to bring order and form. The Lord loves order, but his order is so not like our order that I think probably he laughs over it. The Spirit moves upon creation to bring order out of chaos. Matthew Henry again, you can tell I've read just one commentary. I did read more. God is not only the author of all being, but the fountain of life and the spring of all motion. Dead matter would forever be dead if he did not quicken it. And this is why it makes it credible that God can raise the dead. What an extraordinary statement. The Lord brings life and order to all. Out of the void, he creates an oak tree. What a beautiful thing. Do you know an oak tree lives about 1,000 years, 300 years to grow, 300 years to live in maturity, and 300 years to die? What a gift. Not only does he bring order and form, but he also brings meaning and beauty. Look around. How beautiful you all are. Some might not feel so beautiful, but beauty comes in all packages and sizes. But just the extraordinary work of the Spirit revealed to us in creation is meant to be a signpost to you and I what he wants to do in our very being. He wants to spring new life in us. In our chaos, God can make beauty. Hallelujah. Matthew Henry again. The power which brought such a world out of this confusion, emptiness, and darkness at the beginning of time, can at the end of time bring our vile bodies out of the grave. Though it is a land of darkness as darkness itself, and without order, God can make our bodies glorious. This is the work of the Spirit, friends. Do you know, the last statement that Andrew's going to say, I hope, at the end of the service is, let's go and make Jesus known and see lives transformed. That's the work of the Spirit. And as this time is coming to a close, I'm going to invite God to come now and to bring some beauty and order out of our chaos. Shall we stand? We're going to invite the stewards just to go and gather the great and the good, our youth from the foyer, our children from their rooms. But let's be real with the Lord now. Because I am pretty sure that there are many of us here who actually have an internal chaos going on. And if you haven't, check that you're breathing. Let's invite him now. Let's wait on the Spirit of God. Father, come. By your Spirit, Lord, we love you. And you long to pour your love into us. And Holy Spirit, we ask you now to hover over our chaos. You might have chaos in a relationship. You may be feeling that you are not what you used to be. That you've been dealing with disappointments and failures, maybe even failures of your body to function properly. That's the chaos that the Lord wants to come and speak his order to now. So Holy Spirit, come, we pray. And we speak now life and order to our chaos. Receive the Spirit of God. Now, friends, here's where the rubber hits the road. We're a community who loves one another. We have visitors here, and that's cool. But if you would like the Spirit of God to come and really minister to some real big stuff, why don't you come forward? We're going to invite the Spirit to minister particularly to you. Stepping forward is like a stepping into everything that God has for you. It's a step of faith. So if you're feeling chaotic, why don't you come forward?